Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for who you are. Just thank you for the sending of your Son as we celebrate during this season. Emmanuel, God with us, you clothed yourself in flesh, but just not any flesh, baby flesh. You actually came out and experienced birth. But we are so blessed. We are so blessed because of you humbling yourself and dwelling among us. Lord, we pray that as we just go through this passage, Lord, that we realize that you dwelt with us so that we may in the future dwell with you. Lord, bless this time, Father, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this message is Longing for Our Home in a Distant Country. We're in Hebrews chapter 11. If you will, we'll start off with verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And we're going through this chapter of faith. But if you know the story of Sarah, you would think, wait a minute, what faith did she display? And if you remember the story, these three strangers came, and Abraham recognized one was the Lord, the other were two angels, and he came up to them. It's called Christophany. Whenever you see God in flesh in the Old Testament, it's Jesus. Okay. Now, knowing that, he ran and grabbed the lamb, gave it to his servant, says, prepare this. Oh, God's not a vegetarian. So then, while they're preparing it, they're sitting there, they eat. After they eat, God says to Abraham, where's Sarah? Abraham says, she's in the tent. Now Sarah, being a good wife, good woman, good mother that she will be, she's eavesdropping. She's at the door listening. And God says to Abraham, in season, in the time allotted for a woman to give birth, Sarah, your wife, will give birth to a child. Sarah, being 89 years old, believing her womb is dead, probably because her menstrual period has been gone for years, laughs within herself. She didn't laugh out loud. She didn't even snicker. She laughed within herself and said, me? Give birth? Have pleasure at this old age? And my old man, who's almost 100? All within herself. Check this out. The Lord said, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah steps forward and goes, I didn't laugh. The Lord said, oh, but you did. Now see, whenever I read that passage, you might think the Lord is saying, ah, but you did. You have the wrong face of God. I really truly believe it was with a smile on his face. Ah, but you did. You did laugh, Sarah. How many times do we laugh when God puts something in your heart and mind and you say, me, I can't do that. There's no way. Well, we're learning something. It's the school of faith. That's what we're in. The school of faith is, it's not about you. It's about God. And see, if you look, it's because she judged him who was faithful. Now, think with me. Where was her faith? It activated when she heard this. Abraham and Sarah had to do something to conceive a child. Are you with me? Sarah did that in faith. She judged him who was faithful. Now, if you look at verse 12, we see that Therefore, from one man, Abraham, as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Now, it's interesting because there's two, if you will, lineages of faith here. And that's what some people actually separate it. The sea being the land, which would represent the Jews. The second would be the stars, the multitude. Regardless whether that's true or not, it doesn't matter. It's true in the sense that it is. There are two children of faith with Abraham. Did you know that? There's the Old Testament saints. But there's also us. Like it says in Romans, it says, therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those of the law, the Jew, but also those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That's you and I. We are the children of faith. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him righteousness. We believe God, that Christ died for us. You are now right with God. You are righteous. So you too are the children. I too. Child of Abraham. Now verse 13, or 12, 13. All right, 13. These all died. All the Old Testament saints, specifically we've been going through Abel, Noah, Enoch, Abraham, they're dead, Sarah, they're dead. They all died. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Now, they all died, but where did they go? They went to paradise. They went to the earth. How do we know this? Jesus told us. But actually, he didn't call it paradise when he was telling of the story. He called it Abraham's bosom. Interesting, huh? Abraham's bosom. But they all died going there waiting. But, like it says, they all, having seen from afar off, were assured of them. How was that so? Remember what Jesus said? Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. We don't have the full, if you will, picture and story of Abraham. We don't know everything that God told Abraham. But apparently, because Jesus just said so, that Abraham knew Jesus was coming. They were waiting for him. They knew that they were for a different place, a far different place. Why? How would they believe these things? Because, again, they judged him who was faithful, he promised. It was told them from the beginning, from Adam and Eve, that from her seed, singular, which a woman doesn't have a seed, he would come. And so all the Old Testament saints waited for him, the Messiah, to come. We now have the benefit of seeing past that he has already come. Now to die is to be into his presence. No more holding tank for the Old Testament saints, but there is a holding tank for those who do not believe. So understanding that then, it's the promises that God is faithful, who's promised to us eternal life. And we've learned something, that there's two immutable things, which is impossible for God to lie, that we might have the strong consolation to fled to refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. What two? Well, again, God doesn't lie, and God has promised. God's promised, so it's as good as gold. It's done. But to add to that power, God doesn't lie. Now, I can promise you something, and I can have all good intentions to fulfill that promise. But now it comes down to time, resources, and ability. For God matches all those, because that is exactly what God said to Sarah. Is God's arm too short to do this? All things are possible with God. So when God promises that he has the power, the ability, and resources to do, and has done it through Christ. For those, now listen, they all died having what? Not receiving the promises. There's a key here. What is it? But having seen them afar off, were assured. Assured of what? Again, we just went over it, was God doesn't lie. That they can trust this. That they can put their weight on it. That they can believe it. That they're persuaded. So again, let's go through these steps. Are we persuaded? That this life isn't it. No. But we're promised somewhere else. Eternal life. In His presence. But also all the promises of God. As we understand them, as we grow in them. That what God has said will come to be. Because we trust Him. So again, it's a step constantly. What? Away from ourselves and to Him. I trust Him. I don't trust me. I trust Him. I'm a goofball. I trust Him. I fail. I trust Him. He always is true and right and good. We stop and say, no, not me. I fail. I sin. I trip. I stumble. I'm critical. I gossip. I lie. Those same things you trip and stumble over, you focus on that. We focus on those things. Help me put it. The point is now we see somebody that stands there and says, I give it to you. The strength, the ability, if you follow me. Stop looking at yourself, look at me. So we now come to the place of faith again of saying, I trust Him. I am persuaded. I am assured. I am assured of them. So what's the next step? I embrace them. That word basically means something simple. What is it? To draw to oneself. To receive joyfully. Joyfully. This should be the most joyful place in the world right here when you come here. Regardless whether you feel convicted, you feel down, you feel hurting, you feel sick. This is the joyful place. And any time that you spend time with the Lord, any time you think about the Lord, should bring joy to your heart. Regardless of how you felt, He doesn't. And He loves you. Nothing can separate you from His love. Nothing. Joyful. God's not done with you. See, we keep thinking, God's got to be so disappointed. Well, if God is disappointed, that would mean that He's not all-knowing, because He already knew you were going to trip and stumble and fall, right? So again, it's that mindset of understanding God has it all planned out. And we can come and embrace these gifts, embrace the promises, embrace these truths joyfully. He's not done with me yet. I'm not a finished product. He's at work. Rejoice. We sing about Emmanuel, God with us. Why? Because He's sympathetic with us. You know, it was to be hungry, to be thirsty, to be in pain, to be lonely, to be abandoned, to be beaten. Talked about gossip and lies. All for us. He did that all for us. And so when we think of Him, when we meditate on Him, when we speak to Him, when we talk to Him, there's got to be an understanding within our hearts that there's joy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Because He doesn't reject you. He embraces you. So what are we to do? Embrace Him. Assured of Him. Assured that He's trustworthy. Assured of His promises. Assured that He doesn't lie. Now embrace it joyfully. No, you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But you know what? It's for you. It's for me. Embrace. Now the third thing we learn in this passage is not only embrace Him, but they confessed. Confess. Basically that word confess. Needs to agree with the things that we're talking about right now. Agree about Him. He is good. He's wonderful. To agree with Him. But it also means to concede. That means don't refuse it or deny it. stop refusing it. Stop denying it. Stop saying it's not for you. It means to profess or declare openly, it's for me. God is good. When we worship Him, it's because He is good and great. Not about how we sing, not how we play an instrument, not how we harmonize. It's not about us. It's about us using what God has given us just to praise Him, to worship Him. And the last thing it means is to praise. It's a celebration. Even when we're convicted, it's a celebration. Why? God sees. He's at work. He's never going to change that. We celebrate the work that He's doing in us and through us. And He's not going to stop until it's complete. So again, these things, they assured, they embraced, they confessed what? The same as we should. That they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. This world's not theirs. It's not their home. Verse 14. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Declare plainly means to indicate, disclose, declare, make known. What? That they seek a homeland. This isn't our home. Now that word seek, it means to seek after. Well, thanks. It means to crave. It means to hunger. For what? Home. Now that word is homeland. Literally, it means fatherland. So with that, we understand that it's father's home. But it also would mean one's native country, one's own country. Home with the Father. Again, we look at that picture of the Father being angry with us, and we picture the Son pleading with the Father, oh no, please let them in. It's not that way at all. It's the Father's desire for us to come home. Every one of us. So in our mindset, again, we understand as we, again, are assured of these promises, the Father is calling us home through His Son. If we embrace these promises, nobody's taking it from us. They can't. For what God has promised, it's faithful. He is faithful and true. But there's two immutable things. What God promises is done. And He doesn't lie. You with me? So we confess this. We agree. We celebrate. We don't deny it. You with me? This isn't your home. Just as the Old Testament saints understood this. For they say, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. They crave home. They want to go home to their Father. No more toil in the sun. No more questioning their sanity. No more wondering what's next. The next meal. Worrying about your children. Caring about your old parents, whatever it may be, your future, your husband, your wife, all of it. No more worry, no more concerns, no more pain, no more sorrow. It's your hope. Longing to be whole, longing to go home. Verse 15, and truly they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, would have had opportunity to return. If it was the country of their fatherland, native land, it would have been Ur. And Ur was full of, we remember, idols, sin. If that was the case, the Hebrew writer is saying, if the country they were longing for was their native country, Ur, then they would have went there. But they didn't. They had opportunity. They didn't go back. Because that wasn't it. It was a far country. With me? Verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he prepared a city for them. That word desire means to covet after. It means to give oneself up to what? The heavenly country. They desire, they covet, they desire what? Going home. That's what they want. They wanted to go home. Is that what we want? Not ashamed. Because they desired to go home with the Father, because they desired and they coveted after God, God was not ashamed to be called their God. Our God. My God. Your God. Home. The picture is going home. Going home where? To go with the Father. To be with the Father. To be with the Son. Forever, ever, ever, ever. To put that at the forefront in the heart of our mind and our soul. Everything about us. But we have to understand something. Drop back to verse 15 again. And if they had called to mind, that word called to mind, it means to be mindful of, remember, to think of, and feel for, to hold in memory. With me for a second, think with me. See, if that was on their mind, earth, the idols and the sin, then they would have been longing for that home. But that's not what their mind was set on. It was going home to be in heaven. See, the enemy desires for us to what? To long for this world. Was a picture of the world. The enemy wants us to fix our minds on this world. Every time he can get you fixed on this world, he's won a battle. I want you to think that through with me. Every single time you worry about your next meal, every time you worry about your mortgage, every time you worry about your job, every time you worry about this world, then your mind and your heart is not fixed on Him who's providing it all. You with me? Colossians chapter 3. I know you know this. But what is it that we're exhorted to do? Paul tells us, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on this earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. So the enemy is constantly trying to get us to think about this world, our flesh, the pleasure of it, so then our minds are not fixed on who? On Christ, on our home in heaven. Us as Christians are to understand something. We to celebrate. Celebrate what? We're not of this world. All the chaos, all the destruction. That's what the world has to offer. That's what man has to offer man. That's what the enemy craves for. That's what he exploits. That's what he desires. Men to kill men. Men to hurt men. To hurt women. Women to hurt men. To hurt each other. Adults hurting children. Hurt, pain, sorrow, suffering. How does he do that? Think of yourself. Self. Self. Think of yourself on this earth. All you know is what you feel. All you know is what you think. As you think, you are. You can be who you think you are. Think these great things, and then he laughs and snickers because nobody achieves it. Nobody achieves what he has planned, what he sets in the mind of people. Every one of them fail. Every one of them. How do we know this? Go to the graveyard. They're dead. They're dead. Now picture Jesus who rose again from the dead. Again, what did he say? Basically, it's this. It's really simple. You know what he said? Let's go home. Not yet. I'll come back. Unless you die first, then you'll be with me. And that's what Paul said. torn between the two. See, I know it's better if I stay here and help you all, but you know what? I'm going to go home. I'm going to go home. I still want to go home. That's what we understand why the martyrs stand there being burned. They're going home. Yes, the pain, the suffering, for one brief moment, and then they're in home. Embraced. Keep reminding ourselves. Are you thinking of home, brother? Sister, do you remember you're going home? When's your ticket? When were you going? Don't know. Every day they'll wake up in anticipation. Today may be the day I'm going home. What that would do to change our mindset. Not that we wish to die. No. But to realize death has no sting or hold on us. That we have a heavenly Father that craves for us, desires for us, calls to us, come home! And He wants us to have that same craving, that same yearning to go. Litmus test, really quick. It's really simple. Right now, this moment, what do you think? What do you feel? Are you thinking about all the stuff you got to do at home right now? You need too much long time. Or is it making you start to yearn? If it's the other, then brother, sister, get it right with the Lord. Now, you might be saying, I can't carry this all the way through the day. I just talked about this one moment, because we're talking about home now. It'd be like if we started talking about, hey, we're going to Mexico, Cancun, we've got this resort just for us. No outsiders, it's just for us. And we're leaving April 3rd, whatever. And we're talking about Mexico, or Hawaii, whatever you want to talk about. I don't care. Then you'd be going, all right, yeah, let's go, that's great. And we'd be thinking about Hawaii or Mexico, whatever. The mindset would be there at this moment. Not the things you have to do to prepare for it. No, I mean right now, oh, what else are we going to do there? We're going to surf. We're going to snorkel. We're going to get eaten by sharks. No, I'm just kidding. Whatever. We'd be talking about these things. Oh, where are the kids going to stay? Well, they're going to stay with you in the same room. Oh, do we have to do that? Yes, you do. No, I'm just kidding. That's not paradise, though. No. Paradise. You're going to paradise. What are we going to eat there? We're talking about the food. Well, the food is great. It's the A-plus chefs, man, the best. Nothing but the best for you guys. And you go, oh, that's great. Well, are you sure there's enough to do there? Oh, you'll never go bored. Never. The temperature. You know, I don't like it too hot. I don't like it too cold. And we talk about the temperature. But see, in this moment, we'd be talking about that. And then the reality is when you went to work, again, the mindset is, because it's like any vacation, just like Christmas vacation coming up for some of you, you're going to work Monday morning. But you know what's in the back of your mind? Oh, just 2 more weeks, I'm going on vacation, baby. Nothing about sitting in my easy chair, feet up, watching some football, and drinking some coffee. I'm all good. It could snow all I want out there. I'm going to be inside where it's cozy. But that's what pushes you through. Work, huh? Those little things. You know what got me through school? I'll tell you exactly what got me through school. Because school for me was a living hell. I'm sorry. I just was not one of those guys that liked school. I hated school. I hated it. But sports and holidays and weekends. That's what got me through school. Sorry to say it, but it's the truth. I knew when the days off from school were. And I tell you what, Thanksgiving was great. It was just a little snippet, though. 4 days was great, but I'm waiting for those 2 weeks around Christmas, baby. And doing nothing, at least school-wise. But that's what got me through school. Dude, this is to get us through this life. We when you're struggling, listen. When the roof's leaking, we get fired from your job. If you get sick, it's not your home. You feel abandoned, it's not your home. This is not your place. God's trying to stir in our hearts. You're made for a better place. Calling you home, put it in your heart. Home. And if you remember home and the struggles and the tribulations you go through on this earth, you remember something. You're not building mansion here. And I don't care how good of a builder you are, the mansion that you can build here is so pale in comparison to the one in heaven, it's not even. That one never wears out. One down here always needs painting, always needs repairs, always needs fixing. Yearning and craving for hope. As we come to the communion service, you say, how do we tie that into that? It's interesting because in Matthew's gospel, Jesus does. Matthew's gospel, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father. Going to suffer for you. My body is going to be broken for you. Hung on that tree for you. I'm taking your penalty, putting it on me. Remember something. It's the blood of a new covenant, a new promise. That because I'm dying for you, that my blood is being shed, my blood is going to cover your sin. My blood doesn't cover it. And it's now a new agreement. It's not about what you do. It's what I've done, he says to us. So that you can come home. I've given you the ticket. I've given you the righteousness. I've given you the way. Can you imagine that? In heaven? We won't even talk about drinking wine in heaven. The point is, we're home. So as we come to this communion service again, celebrate. Oh, if you sin, confess it. Agree, I confess. I blew it, I failed, I tripped, I stumbled. But again, it's the mindset of, I know, though, it's a new covenant, a new promise. The promise is that you put your spirit in me and you're at work. I embrace that. I accept that. Put a longing in my heart for home. Put my longing in my heart to crave to be with you. And let it be in the forefront of my mind from this day forward. And that's my prayer for all of you.